gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1 to the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Wow. Wow, what a show we have today. We have current TV correspondent and dreamboat David Schuster coming up in less than half an hour. Lots of big breaking news on the political front this morning. Charlie Pierce of Esquire and, of course, Representative Karen Bass.
That's terrific, Bass.
All right, and we cannot help ourselves. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Does it not happen like clockwork every time I'm going to fly somewhere? There's some sort of something
that
will involve me taking off something else at the security line at the airport.
You're required to take off your skin now and make sure there are no bombs underneath your skin.
Well, I was seeing a report yesterday that Al-Qaeda is trying to figure out how the potential bombers can secrete the...
So you'll all be required to pee in line.
The explosive material.
Empty your bladder in front of the TSA. Just to prove that you're not carrying any explosive devices in your bladder.
If you don't have it, poop it.
I've said it before. If I have to take off that many things, someone is going to f*** me. I mean, really? Seriously? That is a lot of work at my age to take all that off, for God's sakes, without getting nothing out of it.
Do you really want someone from the TSA to...
At this point, yes. All right. Pat down? Yes, bring it on.
For national security.
Happy to give my body for national security.
Just a little something-something?
And I see, and I should fly on Pants Free Friday, as it always is here at Current TV. That'll show them.
Yeah.
All right.
Show them that you're not wearing any underwear.
Right. Totally. All right. High-strung, sexy little tour director Roland wants us to know Minneapolis, of course, Saturday with Aisha Tyler, John Fugles. I don't know why those nearly naked pictures of Aisha Tyler keep popping up.
Oh, God.
Right before a show, and then we sell out. I don't know. It's somebody's exploiting her, and I'm going to have someone in this organization look into that.
I'm going to get to the bottom of her.
I'm the boss. I need the info.
Maybe that's why she forgot what city she was flying to.
Oh, yeah. She emailed me. She couldn't make it to the party this weekend. And she's, but I'll see you in Milwaukee. I'm like, well, all right.
Probably
not. You go to Milwaukee. That's going to be bad.
Maybe she was going to show you. Those nearly naked pictures of her.
I said, well, I certainly hope you're going to Minneapolis and not Milwaukee. But
Milwaukee-napolis.
All right. Roland says there are seats in the three different seating categories, but they're going very, very fast. Oh, VIP. There's still VIP left, so you can be that close to Aisha Tyler. I believe, I don't even know, less than 50 tickets maybe left. So hurry. That will sell out by Saturday. Also, we seem to be having a run on tickets in Seattle. What? The Stephanie Miller Birthday Extravaganza, September 29th. Get it. Go get tickets today. And don't forget August, kids.
Hey, Columbus, we've got the cure for what makes you K-sick.
I just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
Stephanie Miller and her sexy liberal crew are coming to the Capitol Theater on August 18th.
What a fun, sexy time for you.
Join comedic geniuses Hal Sparks. John Fugelsang.
Fox News is like a mecca for people who hate mecca.
And talk radio goddess Stephanie Miller.
It's the most action I've had, not in how long.
As they help Columbus rediscover its funny bone.
Who's laughing now, huh? I'll tell you who's laughing now. We are!
Tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com, at the Kappa Ticket Office, or by calling 800-745-3000. This is truly the show that will put the back in Ohio. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show, coming to the Capitol Theater on August 18th. Mm. Buckeye State, you're going to love our nuts.
You're going to love my nuts.
Yes, indeed. All right. Wowee. Yes, it's a new how low can he go. Did you see a woman in Mitt Romney's audience said that the president should be tried for treason?
Yeah.
She was somewhat less specific on
based on
for
what
reason.
Exactly.
And Romney didn't say anything about that.
Nope.
Because you know the kind of courage of his convictions Mitt Romney has, the kind of principles he has. He let that go right by. Yeah, I mean, even John McCain had the decency, although ham-handedly. He's an Arab. No, ma'am. He's a decent family man.
Unlike Arabs.
Zoinks. But at least he had the decency. Here this is yesterday.
We have a president right now that is operating outside
the structure of our Constitution.
Huh? What does that mean?
And I want to know.
Yeah,
I want to know. I want. Yeah, I do agree he should be tried for treason. But
yeah.
I want to know what you are going to be able to do to help restore balance between the three branches of government and what you're going to be able to do to restore our Constitution in this country.
Well, as I'm sure you do, I happen to believe that the Constitution was not just brilliant, but probably inspired. I believe the same thing about the Declaration of Independence.
The treason. Ask about the Declaration of Independence.
And so I will respect the different branches of government if I'm fortunate enough to become president.
Didn't ask about the
Yeah,
what
you know,
was
the penalty for treason is death. Yeah. The death sentence. That seems like that might have been worth mentioning, that there are no grounds to trust president for treason. Okay, so that's the. He's a wow. He's got courage, that guy.
I believe in the Constitution. I believe in the five branches of government. I really think they're fabulous.
Marvelous.
There's only three?
Marvelous.
Oh. Oh, well.
Wow.
I guess I pulled a boner.
Yeah, that's kind of. How do you ignore that in any conversation? You know, it's just it's like the big kind of the elephant in the living room, isn't it?
I dare say. You know, President Bush crapped on the Constitution way more than...
The Supreme Court is way outside of their jurisdiction by deciding who the president was in 2000.
Yeah.
By stopping the recount, which, had it continued, Al Gore would have been president.
Yes, but then we wouldn't have had a TV show. So you have to look at the greater
good. So thanks, Supreme Court.
Which is, of course, always...
Stephanie Miller.
Yes. All right. Wouldn't have had the unnecessary wars.
Whatever.
But, you know, I'm just saying. Okay. Ben LeBold, we had him on, Obama campaign spokesman.
Yes.
He questioned Romney's willingness to stand up to the extreme voices in his party. Yeah, you think? So far, he's even what's his name, Brian Fisher, the American Family guy, like, mocked him.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, if he can't stand up to me, aha, I made the gay guy resign.
Can't stand up to me, how you stand up to North Korea?
Or Putin, the Ruskies, who were our number one enemy.
Yeah. He was basically saying, yeah, you did exactly what I made you do. And now
made you flinch.
Yeah.
That's leadership.
And you're a
right
puss
there.
For doing it.
It's like, what the? He just called Romney out as a big puss.
Yeah.
And he did what he wanted. They really are. That's what I'm telling you. Religious right are really the bullies. They're really the, haha, made you flinch. Just want to see if I could. See.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. They're like your brother.
Yeah.
They are. You buckets.
Stop it. All right. So that happened.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And I said this morning when I came in, I'm like, okay, he's just going to run as a giant liar. That's how he's going to run.
A liar and a puss.
Liar and a puss.
Yep. Load the liar cannon. Romney takes credit for auto industry success. Wah, wah.
You're a bald-faced liar.
Wah, wah.
A f***ing liar.
Wow. So
I think you should let Detroit die. By which
on
I mean...
paper. He wrote an opinion piece in the New York Times saying... Let Detroit go bankrupt.
Yeah.
It said, if General Motors, Ford, and Chrysler get the bailout that their chief executives asked for yesterday, you can kiss the American automotive industry goodbye. It won't go overnight, but its demise will be virtually guaranteed. Well, you could just stand up and say, you know what, I was wrong on that one. I was, did I whiff that one?
I've decided to call in an airstrike on Detroit.
Yes, but no, campaigning in the backyard of the auto industry. Mitt Romney reignited the bailout debate, suggesting he deserves a lot of credit for the recent success of the nation's largest car companies.
Based on what?
Yeah, what did he base that on?
Oh, well, I'll tell you. Thanks for asking. President Obama followed his lead when he ushered... He said President Obama followed his lead when he ushered auto companies through a managed bankruptcy. I pushed the idea of a managed bankruptcy.
No.
No, you didn't.
You wanted them to go completely bankrupt.
And finally, when that was done and help was given, the companies got back on their feet.
Oh,
so I'll take
on.
A lot of credit for the fact that this industry has come back.
Does he really think that the press will let him say that unchallenged?
This is the AP at least helpfully pointed out. The course Romney advocated differed greatly from the one that was ultimately taken. GM and Chrysler went into bankruptcy on the strength of a massive bailout that Romney opposed.
Uh-huh.
Neither George W. Bush nor President Obama believed the automakers would have survived without the backup from the taxpayers. Romney opposed taxpayer help. And as everybody has, any economist worth their salt has pointed out, there was no credit available then. There's
right.
no way
right.
they would have been able to, without taxpayer help, nobody credible thinks they could have gone through a bankruptcy without taxpayer help. Anyway, mittens.
You're a lying
I'm so disappointed.
You're a lying, scheming, stinking, nasty sack of liquid crap.
Disappointed! All right, 17 minutes after the hour.
Disappointed!
Really? Not that he was telling the truth, though, so far. I'm just saying that was the biggest, stinkiest one thus far.
So far?
Right.
That's pretty stinky.
Yeah. All right. And he's still got a Santorum surge for his trouble. We'll talk about that. When we get back.
Yeah. Now, Howard Kurtz tweeted this morning, now, isn't endorsing you by email the same as kind of breaking up with you by text?
Kind of.
Yeah.
It was very long.
Yeah.
It was a very long Dear John letter. Did you read it? Blah,
yeah.
blah, 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 blah. Romney,
Matt.
The point was still Romney,
yeah.
Matt.
Romney.
18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
I get my kids above the waistline, sunshine.
What fun is that?
Yeah.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Unless I'm using my vibrate feature on my cell phone, as I was this morning and I was late. I apologize for that. I need to change it to that Axel F. Frog thing. Remember that ringtone? Yeah, that's
wow.
a buzzkill for anybody.
We haven't used that in years.
Yes, I know. All right. Oh, boy. He's right up there behind Romney Santorum. He's got a...
right behind him, huh?
Yeah.
Yep.
Backing him real close. He officially... Wow, that was a lot of... did you read the letter he sent to his supporters? I, of course, being one of them, so I'm on the list.
Obviously. Sure.
That was yucky. It was somewhere embedded in the letter, like you were saying. By letter, that's kind of like,
yeah.
Do I have to actually say this in person?
And it was, like, late at night, too. So
yeah.
It completely missed all of the evening newscasts.
I think it was a drunk email. You know that overly
Santorum
long email that you send that you're like, oh, did I send that? Somebody should put a drunk filter on his... Yeah.
Or at least teach him about the drafts folder.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's why God invented a draft file.
Just exactly.
Think it through, sober up.
Read it before you send it.
I was looking this morning to make sure I responded to a sales guy because he asked me to endorse something, and I typed a word sometime last
schmarf.
Night.
Schmarf.
Yeah, I did. I typed schmarv. I named another Romney. And I think I meant sure, but I was like, I went
schmarv.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Schmerkful.
So he's probably going to email me again. Did just schwa mean yes? That was just a one-word answer. Yeah, I think he needs to get the whatever Clarence Thomas has put on Virginia's computer.
Yeah.
Like a drunk filter where you have to do a math problem or something. Because it was really, really long. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
On Friday, Governor Romney came to Pittsburgh for an over an hour-long one-on-one meeting. Oh,
oof.
That sounds hot.
Yeesh.
The conversation was candid, collegial. Yeah, right.
Collegial?
You hate him. Focused on the issues, blah, blah, blah. The letter said the issue of an endorsement did not come up. Oh, you both are such liars. Really?
Wow, he's a bad liar.
Over an hour. Now, I don't know.
He's just shooting the,
wasn't mentioned.
With Romney.
Yeah, wasn't mentioned. Santorum said in the meeting he felt a deep responsibility to assess Governor Romney's commitment to addressing the most important issues to conservatives.
Deep.
As well as his commitment to ensuring our appropriate representation in the Romney administration. Gack!
Uh-huh.
That means you got to make sure you put a lot of right-wing wax in there.
Mm-hmm.
In the lengthy email, Santorum encouraged Romney to add more conservative leaders as an integral part of his team. More right-wing. He ended the letter promising his supporters he'll have details of his own venture soon. Uh-huh. Oh, Frothy, don't be such a tease. I can't wait. What is it? What is it? Come on. Break the news. Come on.
Does this mean the gays have to wear pink triangles again? Is that what they're...
Yeah, that might be.
Yeah.
One of those big, bold, new ideas. Mm-hmm. Bold, courageous
That's such
ideas.
An old idea.
Yeah. Carol in Pennsylvania. Hi, Carol.
Hi. Love your show.
Thank you.
My thing is everybody's constantly bashing Obama for being a Muslim, and I live deep in the heart of redneck country, let me tell you. But anyhow, there's a whole group of people that are Muslims, and even though I'm a Catholic, born a Catholic and probably will die a Catholic, I still respect everyone's right to follow their own path as long as it doesn't harm someone. When is anyone going to stand up and say, okay, he's a Muslim, why is it a dirty word?
Well, he's not.
But he's not a Muslim, Carol.
I know that. That's my point. Not a point, but they're tarring a whole group of people. Suppose Obama was a Catholic. Would everybody be saying, oh, Obama's a Catholic, we have to hate him? Do you get the point?
Yeah, no, that's what I was saying is always missed in this, and the fact that the repeated lie that he's Muslim is, you're right, it is insulting because it is said automatically like it's a slur on the right.
Well, you know, like, you can't run for president or be a president if you are a Muslim.
Yeah.
People in Congress that are Muslims.
Yeah. But Keith Ellison, who we've had on, who's wonderful. But, you know, Carol, I've said this before, like this Monica Crowley thing that she called Sandra Fluke a lesbian. Only the right wing says that, like that's a dirty word to call someone, like a nasty thing, even though Carol, saying, again, she doesn't happen to be gay, but that's not the point. It's that. And I was saying, John McCain, I mean, here's the level we've gotten to. At least he had the decency to stand up to this woman, but he said it in a way that was insulting to Arabs, right?
Exactly. And when is anyone going to hold the Republican Party accountable for, they just constantly say this, and what's wrong if he was a Muslim? What would be wrong?
Right. John McCain's exact words were, no, he's not, ma'am. He's not an Arab. He's a decent family man.
Right.
Exactly.
And nobody in the media, Carol, even pointed that out.
Exactly. I mean, there he is agreeing with them. Okay, he's an Arab. I'm sure there are good Arabs. I'm sure there's good in everybody.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, exactly.
There are even good Catholics.
What? Not talking to you, Frothy. I can't. No, but that was what I said. I talk about the liberal, quote-unquote liberal media.
Yeah.
Nobody even reported on that. The whole story was, oh, look how decent John McCain is. That he, I mean, there was another layer to that it just was inherent in what he said. That, oh, yes, well, that would be an insult. But he's not an Arab. Boy, all right, 29 minutes after the hour, once again, the most interesting man in the world, David Schuster, to talk about the most awkward man in the world, Mitt Romney. Right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Unbelievable. It is way too early for this, guys. I haven't even had my first cup of wine today.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Tuesday.
For Current TV, our good friend David Schuster.
As if Tuesday isn't exciting enough, David Schuster coming up.
He is the most interesting man in the world.
The dreamiest blue eyes. Good morning, David Schuster.
Stephanie, you always make my week. I look forward to Tuesdays.
Aww.
Love to chat with you.
Aww. Why? You're giving me the vapors.
So, I'm a little frisky this morning, Stephanie.
Well, my goodness. You know, good to know. Let me make a note of that. David, the president has thwarted yet another Al-Qaeda plot, nothing but net, and yet they're using the old, what is that, the Karl Rove tactic, go after someone's strength, they're trying to make it a bad thing, that he's spiking the football on bin Laden, et cetera, et cetera. How's that going to play in this election, do you think?
I think it's just stupid. It's stupid for the Republicans to make this argument. And again, at a certain point, look, the American people recognize that the president did this. He got, sure, he got military help. The people, anybody who watches the president's speeches will see that in every one of the president's speeches about this, he's giving credit to the military, to the CIA, to the folks who are stopping the plots. But he's also saying, look, we armed them with the ability to do this. I gave them the order and they followed through. The Republicans, every time they try to, look, and I think I said this last week, the Republicans ought to just keep doing this because it's the stupidest, weakest argument I think I've heard in politics in a long time. As opposed to just saying, okay, yeah, we're all glad that, you know, Bin Laden was killed. We're all glad that a CIA plot was foiled. That's what our government should be doing. Bravo. Now let's go talk about the economy. Every day that they want to continue, you know, arguing over whether that President Obama is spiking the ball in the end zone is a great day for Democrats. So
yeah.
The Republicans and Mitt Romney, just keep it up. Keep going.
Yeah,
we'll have the entire election about this.
The good news is that this group, the Veterans for a Strong America, they basically are saying we're swift voting the president. That's the part you don't say, dummy. But you know, the problem, here's the, you know, we always talk about, David, with the quote-unquote mainstream media or liberal media, they aired this ad on, where was it, ABC's This Week, and then members of the roundtable basically have to echo the talking points that are in this, and I heard Rush Limbaugh talking about it first, oh, you know, there's these Navy SEALs that are going to come out against the president. It's this is what happens, is that this stuff, whether it's Breitbart's, it bleeds into the mainstream media, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it does. I mean, I think that's the danger. And while it's so good to have groups like Media Matters and other organizations that are keeping track of this, it can at least bring some shame to mainstream media organizations that give this any credit. And the unfortunate thing is now, of course, everybody's going to be looking for that one Navy SEAL who's going to, you know, criticize President Obama. But I guarantee you can find anybody to criticize anybody these days. And the fact that, you know, this just goes to show that the standards of the conservative media, the right-wing media, is so derelict, is so ridiculous that they'll go for anything. And so some crazy crackpot who may not even be a Navy SEAL, but will come out and say, oh, I think President Obama shouldn't be doing this. And all of a sudden, Rush Limbaugh has the talking points for a week. But again, I think I get back to the point that most Americans, I think they see through this kind of nonsense. If you're talking about the economy and you're saying, oh, President Obama can't manage the economy or whatever it is, at least I think there's a, you know, people will engage the debate. I think the debate would still be, well, President Obama's done a great job on the economy and he's done a great job on all sorts of different things. But at least there's better basis for an intellectual debate. There's no basis for the debate Republicans are trying to have on this.
Well, and David, you know, we thought last election cycle was ugly and, you know, the strains of racism. We've obviously seen that get progressively worse through the president's, you know, presidency. We have Republican congressmen yelling, you lie at him during a State of the Union. You know, yeah. You can just recount one after another. And didn't we hit another new low yesterday where, you know, this woman in a town hall accuses the president of treason. Mitt Romney doesn't blink an eye.
And it's such a contrast with what John McCain did a couple of years ago in 2008 when John McCain said, no, he's not a Muslim. He was born here. I mean, it's just, I think there's a lack of, certainly a lack of integrity, and there's now no shame in the Republican Party. And once upon a time, you know, you could disagree with, say, John McCain's positions and policies, as a lot of us did, but at least you had respect for the fact that he kept this within certain lines. Mitt Romney will do anything, will say anything, will allow anything to be said if he thinks it'll help him politically. And, you know, I think it gets right to the point of, you know, the foreign policy advisor who was openly gay, and Mitt Romney, of course Mitt Romney wanted to keep him, but would Mitt Romney condemn the homophobic attacks on the guy? Absolutely not. Would Mitt Romney say, wait a second, no, there's no reason to accuse the president of treason, we can have a disagreement, a strong disagreement, without going there. And that would actually, I think, show some leadership and show some appeal to moderates and independents. But every time Mitt Romney is tone deaf like this, again, I mean, it's ugly and it's disgusting, but politically, I do think it helps the Democrats.
Well,
it frightens a lot of people in the middle.
Right. And you know, you can go back one after another. David didn't condemn really what Ted Nugent said, didn't condemn what Rush Limbaugh said. Or, you know, we're so, I mean, this is how we've got, he is just so milquetoast. On these kind of, I mean, he just, it, when you have a right-wing radio host mocking you for not standing up to him, I mean, we've really reached a new place, haven't we?
Yeah, I think it's a new place, and I think where it becomes really dangerous is that, again, while politically I think, you know, this is great for the Democrats because moderates and independents, I think, see right through this and see, you know, they get disgusted when somebody won't show some leadership and condemn this stuff. But where it frightens me and where I think it is really dangerous for our society are the few crackpots who are out there who, when they, for example, hear Congressman Alan West declare that, you know, 78 to 81 members of Congress are communists and un-American, or that the president is somehow un-American or should be tried for treason, there is a crackpot out there who now has easy access to guns without, you know, any sort of background check if they get them at a gun show because of these stupid Republicans who are blocking gun show stuff, who will get a hold of a gun, and then we have the sort of the Gabby Gifford situation. And that's where I think it's so frightening that at a certain point, our political leaders in both sides of the aisle, but certainly Republicans have got to recognize, no, you have to call this stuff out when it's said. You have to send a message to all the crazies out there who may be obsessed with you, who hear Mitt Romney and think, oh, my God, Mitt Romney agrees that President Obama should be charged with treason. What do we do with people who are charged with treason? Oh, we shoot them. Well, that kind of stuff can happen. And I think that's where it's so disgusting and so revolting in all of us in our society, I think, have an obligation to call out this stuff.
Well, remember, in Dallas in 1963, there were posters up calling out JFK for treason, and we saw what happened there.
Well, David, yeah. I mean, I did you happen to see the tape of the reporter asking Romney about it afterwards?
I did not see the tape.
I just thought that was the perfect example of just how just mealy-mouthed he is. He just, you know, you can hear the reporter saying, and he's just like, oh, well, no, of course I don't believe that. Of course I don't believe it. Oh, of course. I mean, he just is so, like, slimy and evasive. And
of course
just,
I believe it, or don't believe it, or whatever you want me to say.
Yeah, or whatever you want me to say. Yeah. I mean,
I get that. I mean, a lot of these events, and I've covered a lot of campaigns over the years, where sometimes the politician doesn't hear what the audience member is saying, or maybe they're thinking about something else, and it sort of goes over them. And that, you know, look, that happens to us on the other. Sometimes a guest says something, and we miss it. But when you're reminded of it later, when your producer says, hey, Schuster, such and such said this, or when a reporter says, hey, a member of the audience said the following, at that point you can say, fine, of course I don't believe it, but let me be absolutely clear. I do not support anybody who wants to go there with the argument that the president should be charged with treason. And then that's the end of it. And you're showing some leadership, and you're showing some integrity,
well, David,
and you're sending a message to everybody. But you can't do that is infuriating.
Right? Yeah, and I agree, David. You can't be held, you know, on either side, you can't be held responsible for everything anyone says. But she said it directly to him with his microphone. He had given her a platform.
Right.
I mean, there's no way he missed that. He just, you know, I think you're right. He is willing to pander to anyone or anything to get elected.
Yeah, or he wants to be so sort of safe, and he's so frightened of, you know, the conservatives who might abandon him that he can't even. And look, there are a lot of conservatives out there who will stand up and say that's ridiculous, and it hurts the conservative cause when we have nut jobs who are accusing the president of treason. Well, Romney ought to recognize that and say, no, we can have an intellectual debate, we can have an honest debate without having to bring up this nonsense, which is ugly and a giant distraction. And again, I think, you know, when a reporter, when an aide, when somebody says, hey, did you not hear what just happened? Because said, look, I heard it and I was so sort of startled, I didn't know how to react, but let me be clear now. I mean, it's easy to deal with these things, and the fact that, I mean, he is willingly deciding not to deal with them. I mean, I'll give him a pass on the first time, but you know, when he's reminded of it, or when a reporter asks him, or when an aide says, hey, this was said, at that point, he has an obligation. If he wants to be president of the United States, if he wants to be leader of his party, he has an obligation to lead and say, no, we're going to conduct this election within certain reasonable grounds, within certain reasonable lines, and we're not going to go to the really ugly, ridiculous stuff.
And
the fact that he's not willing to condemn it is annoying.
Right, and honestly, the theme for me this morning is more, how is the mainstream media going to cover this? I don't know if you heard the story today that Mitt Romney is literally on record now as saying, I am responsible for the auto industry, suing the auto industry in America. And I mean, do you just cover that, David, as a reporter? Like, okay, Mitt Romney said this, so that happened.
Well,
or do you go, that is complete unmitigated bull, right?
Yeah. Well, when I saw that this morning, I literally freaked out. I couldn't believe that. At first, I couldn't believe the headline when I saw it on Huffington Post. I was like, no, this has got to be a mistake.
Yeah.
Well, I think, I mean, my fear, and this is, I think, a criticism that I've had of sort of the media for a while, is that you're going to have some members of the media who are going to say, Mitt Romney says blah, 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 and the Democrats say, no, President Obama did this. And my view is like, no, damn it, the job of the media is to tell the truth. And sometimes it's not he said, she said. Sometimes the fact of the matter is that President Obama, and with President Bush to a certain extent, they gave government money to help the automakers. Mitt Romney was opposed to government money. Now, you can, you know, Mitt Romney can claim he wanted some sort of structured bankruptcy or whatnot, but the fact of the matter is there was no way you could do a structured bankruptcy 4 years ago without using government money.
That's right.
Any reporter who does not point this out is derelict in their duties to journalism. And at a certain point, political reporter is going to have to say, okay, I don't care if the Romney campaign gets pissed at me. I'm going to call him out on this bunk because it is bunk, and it's ridiculous the reporters will let him get away with this.
Now, believe me, I was on record back then as not being a George Bush fan and saying he deserves credit. It was the one of the one good things he did was the auto rescue. And so, you know, like you say, you have to go on the facts as to who supported what. This is what, you know, when we got bin Laden, I mean, literally, David, you saw the news shows and the Sunday show. Well, really, both, you know, Bush and Obama deserve credit. We really both. It's like, what? No. He didn't get him. He did get. They literally, on the Sunday shows, David, had mostly all Bush administration people that they interviewed about how really this is George Bush's victory. And it's, you know.
It's absolutely ridiculous. And I talked to him. I mean, I was just looking at some stuff for last night that I did a couple of years ago. So I was trying to remember, you know, some of the themes and things that were going on in 2008. I did an interview with President Obama's economic advisor, 2009, Austin Goolsbee, and I asked him the question when they were considering the bailout for Detroit. I said, "What exactly are the automakers going to do over the next 60 days that they haven't already done?" And I was giving him a really hard time for the idea that they would, you know, throw good money after bad money, as some people like Mitt Romney had argued.
Right.
And I was skeptical of it. Well, the fact of the matter is, I was wrong. I mean, they did some changes within 2 months, and the bailout worked. So later, when I saw Austin Goolsbee, when we did the next segment, I said, okay, I was a little bit hard on this one, but the fact of the matter is, the Obama administration, the economic advisors, they were right. You know, those of us who were skeptical, we were skeptical, but we were wrong. So,
well, David, you know why?
Because
you are twice the man Mitt Romney will ever be.
you're very calm. But again, I just think, you know, whoever's advising Mitt Romney is doing a really lousy job. And we're hearing rumblings that this is a really bad campaign, that it's campaign by committee, that, you know, it's all sort of very safe. At a certain point, somebody's going to grab him and say, look, you've got to acknowledge that you are not perfect, that you're not responsible for everything good that has happened, that you've made mistakes. And when you do that, you start to appeal to centrists and the independents that you're going to need to win this election. Because if he doesn't, if he continues on this mem of taking credit for everything and downplaying every Obama success, the American people, particularly in the middle, are going to see right through that. And that only hurts Republicans.
Well, and you've got to, I mean, I just, again, the president, I'm sorry, has been consistently right on things. And, you know, when you've got Mitt Romney out there going, oh, the unemployment should be 4%, as if it would be under him. When, you know, Robert Reich made the great point. Guess when it was? When I was Secretary of Labor and we had the policies exactly the opposite of what you're promoting. I mean, somebody needs to point that stuff out, right?
Yeah, I mean, the unfortunate thing was when I first saw that, it took a couple of articles looking around to find somebody who reported, oh, yeah, it was, you know, at the end of the Clinton administration, 4 months. I mean, the only 4 months of the last 50 years that happened was during the Clinton administration at the end, after these policies had been put in place. And what gets me is when there are some reporters who are out there who will say, oh, well, Mitt Romney says it ought to be 4%, and then don't point out, well, when was the last time that, you know, we were creating 500,000 jobs a month? Or when does that happen? And have, you know, and what were the circumstances? And again, I think it's a really dangerous thing for our society. It's a really bad thing for the media when there's a claim that's made by Romney and a counterclaim that's made by the Democrats, and that's all your viewers or your listeners or readers are hearing about. And that's why, I mean, thank God, Stephanie, for your show and for Curran and some of the others that are out there that are actually saying, well, wait a second, let's put this stuff in context. Let's report the truth. Let's report the facts. And let the facts fall where they may, as opposed to this he said, she said nonsense.
And thank God for you. And my producer's giving me the break sign, and I'm ignoring him because I have to ask you before we about marriage equality and how that's going to play out in this cycle, do you think? It's obviously between, you know, the vice president and others, you know, there's a lot more spotlight on this issue now. What do you think?
My sense is, look, I think the president probably privately feels he's all in favor of marriage equality. I think all of us who sort of know what's going on in the White House support that and strongly believe it. I would say politically right now, the president is probably better served waiting until after the election, even though, look, I wish he could say it right now and politically everything would be fine, but we're in this sort of environment where there's no reason that he needs to make that decision or that announcement right now. And great that Biden and others have done so. For the president, if I were advising politically, just hold off. Yes, if you feel that way, and so many of us support you, but politically, let's not have that discussion right now.
And ironically, David Schuster, the more time I spend with you, as you know, I go from gay to questioning, so by the time he does, I will hopefully be married to you.
Oh.
All right.
I'm there.
Bye, David Schuster. See you next week.
Have a great week.
You too, honey. I love him. 49 minutes after the hour.
I do believe that there is a lovely and talented Mrs.
Schuster. You
know what?
I didn't Google that. check it out during the break. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
God, what did you have for breakfast this morning? Carnation instant bitch?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Talking about your chair dancing?
Yeah, more in ways like Elaine from Seinfeld.
Yeah, that's really mysterious.
54 minutes after the hour. This hour brought to you by GoToMyPC.com. Access your PC or Mac from anywhere with GoToMyPC. That's what we use. We love it. We want you to try GoToMyPC free for 45 days. For this exclusive offer, visit GoToMyPC, click on the Try It Free button, enter the promo code Stephanie. All right.
Or as you said in that last spot, enter Stephanie.
Enter Stephanie. Please, won't you? Thank you. Please and thank you. Chanel, am I saying that right? Mm-hmm. In Detroit. Hey, Chanel.
Hi. How are you guys?
Good. Go ahead.
I want to say two things, one about mittens and one about crazy Ted Nugent. I'm from Detroit, and pisses me off about how he said he didn't help. He wants to take credit for the auto industry when I've been unemployed since 08 because I work in IT. I work on the websites for the auto industries. And what Mittens, I think he needs to do since he wants to take credit for it, I would love to see him in the Ford, in the Chrysler Jefferson plant putting on steering wheels since he wants to take credit.
Chanel, Maya.
Let's see him get down and dirty, you know, and tell these employees, I helped save you.
Yeah.
Chanel, my colleague, Governor Jennifer Granholm, who obviously knew a little something about that, was governor of Michigan at the time, said when we were on our knees, he stuck a shiv in our back. That's what Mitt Romney did for Detroit. And to try and rewrite that now is just beyond, it doesn't pass the laugh test, does it?
No, it doesn't. And Jennifer Granholm is right. She was the only one who fought for us, tried to get jobs, and did everything she tried to do to help us when she was in office. And for him to just try to take credit is a slap in the face to everyone in Michigan.
Yep. When you get really tired, do you get Chanel bags under your eyes?
Stop it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a sinus infection, so I'm home from work now. So the answer is yes.
I'm sorry.
As for Ted Nugent, we just need to kick him out of Michigan and hold up signs saying you ain't allowed back here in that case.
Yeah,
rumor has it that he actually lives in Texas, but just says he lives in Michigan.
Where that goofy hat look fits in better?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Megan in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Megan.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I think you're being a little hard on the governor. He clearly bailed out the auto industry.
Mm-hmm.
He bought up all the cars.
Yes.
What else are you going to put in your car elevators?
His wife has Chantel, two Cadillacs. So.
And Chantel can keep Ted Nugent right there in Michigan. That's fine. We don't want him in Chicago.
Exactly. Marie in Georgia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Marie.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I want to say thank you for having a morning spot for liberals. That's first of all, and I'm a first-time caller.
Thank you.
But I wanted to make clear that nobody is talking about Romney's no political experience in the Senate and in Congress. And here we heard from 2008, oh, you only have senatorial experience on a President Obama.
Right.
Well, Mittens has none.
Yeah. Yeah.
None, and nobody's talking about it.
Right.
Why?
Yeah. And I love him criticizing the president on foreign policy. He has zero foreign policy experience.
Exactly. He has none.
Yeah,
exactly. But I lived in France.
Why isn't anybody in the mainstream press talking about the fact that he has so little experience at even doing that?
Well,
it doesn't hack it. We learned that with Bush.
Yeah. Listen, by the way, Marie, you know, they just did a poll, and I think the American people get it. He's ahead by double digits on who would be better on foreign policy.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the American people are paying attention.
Yeah.
Good job.
Hopefully.
Good job.
Although in the latest battleground polls, they're
even.
They're
that's what kills me. I look at, you know, and subject after subject, and people agree with the president. But, you know, this is absolutely, we can't get complacent. It's going to be a tough.
Absolutely not.
It always is. We're always an evenly divided country. I like Charlie Pierce. He's really harsh in my happy clappy buzz this morning.
No.
So we'll talk to him. Because I still want to, you know, Larry the Landslide Lizard may be warming up. You never know. We'll see.
Don't count on him to make an appearance,
Charlie
though.
Pierce doesn't think so. We'll talk about that and much more as we continue. 58 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Now hear this.
Amendment 1.
Amendment 1.
Thank you.
Whatever.
Thank you.
That is all.
That is all. Thank you. Okay. All right.
And no,
the
you
gay
won't,
bashing amendment.
You won't turn gay if you vote against it.
Right.
Now hear this.
Oh,
you will not turn gay if you vote against it.
That is all.
Not that that's
probably
a bad thing, but...
Not that it's a bad thing, but yeah, it's not likely.
Stop repeating everything we say on the megaphone. It's annoying.
Also stop repeating everything all that. Okay.
Okay, 1-800-STEF-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere.
Ah.
Okay. All right. 1-800-STEF-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Ah, boy. StephanieMiller.com, the website. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. Get it. Go. Minneapolis, Saturday. Tickets almost gone.
With Aisha.
Aisha Tyler. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Hot cha-cha. Hot cha-cha.
You know what? I knew I should not have handed them that. I was just trying to point out it's an important day in North Carolina.
Where now hear this. Damn.
All right.
And a single Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, all the single ladies, put your hands up. You know, our listeners are funny, and they try to make me laugh through my pain. Because I'm a crying on the inside, laughing on the outside kind of clown.
Sure.
Jeff in Salem says, hi, Steph. Sorry about the breakup. Think of the bright side. You won't be responsible for her college tuition when she graduates from high school. That's a joke about because she's a lot younger than me. All right. But people are sending me stories to make me feel better. For instance, no matter how bad my life is, Chris.
What?
I'm not this woman.
Okay.
Long Island hooker arrested for giving handies in a hot dog truck second time.
Sorry, what?
Handies.
That's what they call a cell phone in Germany.
Am I allowed?
Well, that's not what they call it on Long Island.
Really? Apparently not.
It's not me yet.
She's handing out cell phones.
Yeah, okay. That's it.
Gawker brings us the story. New York Post reports a 45-year-old Long Island woman was arrested last week for selling hot dogs in hand. Can I say the whole
wow
thing?
Wow. Now you...
Handies.
Handies.
Well, they kind of go hand in hand.
If hey!
You will, so to speak, as it were. If you catch my drift.
Out of a camper on the side of the road. It was the second time Catherine Scalia had been... Oh, I wonder if there's
Scalia
any relation.
Interesting.
Second time she'd been arrested for selling hot dogs and hand out of the camper. Gawker says, the problem is when you find something you're good at and passionate about, it can be a challenge to walk away from it.
Mm. Twice. Is this the second time?
Twice.
Yeah.
What have we told you about the hot dogs
wow
and handies?
At least you're not that woman.
Right? Totally.
Driving, right, driving around the streets of Los Angeles in a taco truck, handing out.
He needs handies.
Yeah.
All right. And people sending me new
tacos and reach arounds.
There you go.
And people sending me happy clappy news with about new future wives. Oh, by the way, someone said Randy Rhodes said yesterday she's considering my marriage proposal, so that's good.
Wow. That would be news.
We'll meet like the Marcus and Michelle Bachman. I'll just pretend I don't notice that she's straight. And giving out probably hot dogs and handies on the side of the Long Island, because that would be her.
That's my gift, Missy.
Or I will just, you know what, I will put the rose-colored love glasses on.
Uh-huh.
Just tell me what time it is again. 9 minutes after. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, yeah.
Go give out handies on the Long Island Expressway. Have fun. All right. Come on, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
We could do time checks back and forth all morning. You're late for work. It's 19 after. Okay. All right. I can dream. A girl can dream.
Sure. Why not?
All right. This woman in the New York Times this past, I don't know when this was, this past weekend, someone sent me this. Iris Love, want to marry her. Okay.
Is that her real name? Iris Love?
Iris Love.
Hmm.
Check okay this out. She, the New York socialite whose Pekingese won best in show this year at Westminster. A fun-loving and gracious archaeologist, Ms. Love, now 78. I'm going older this time. I'm swag.
Wow.
She's she has 36 champion dachshunds, and she drinks like a fish. What? She used to be Liz Smith's partner, friend and romantic partner for 15 years. She's gone with Mick and Bianca Jagger to visit an archaeological dig in Turkey, where she discovered the Temple of Aphrodite 40 years ago.
Wow.
Wait a minute.
She's an archaeologist. I would never seem old to her. She's...
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Mick Jagger helped discover the Temple of Aphrodite?
No, she was just that with them. She just has a fabulous life. All
okay
right.
Okay.
Wow.
All right.
Listen to this.
That seems so appropriate.
This New York Times story. Just she watched her dachshunds lounge in the late afternoon light, occasionally complimenting them in one of the six languages she speaks.
Wow.
They also like her bed. Now you're talking my language. After one particularly crowded night, she recalled she woke... in the morning on the floor. And may I say, I don't think I had even one drink that evening. How can you not love a woman that lets her 36 dachshunds push her out of the bed?
You know what? She sounds totally like the Jane Lynch and Jennifer Coolidge characters
yes!
from Best
this
in Show.
Me.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Here's the part. She's no teetotaler, however, and believes that all you have to do is to be her friend is drink and love dogs.
All
Hello.
You need is booze
says, yeah.
and dogs.
She said, I trust people who like animals and who drink because it shows they have a soul, and alcohol opens the capillaries and the mind.
You betcha.
That's Woo! Your excuse.
It opens the capillaries.
Okay, here's my favorite.
Caterpillars.
My favorite caterpillar. What?
Your favorite caterpillar?
My favorite caterpillar.
Your favorite
paragraph.
Caterpillar in the New York Jew? The Central Park
no.
Jew?
No. No.
There's only one? Wow.
Here's my favorite paragraph in the New York Times story. The gentle 14-year-old dachshund sat at Ms. Love's feet as she waved a marrow bone over his head with priestly sobriety. She spoke to him in Greek in her seductively low and whispering voice.
Of course, the dachshunds only speak German.
How can you know of a woman that drinks like a fish? Well, and speaks in a seductive whisper in Greek to her dachshund. And then the last paragraph. I saw Diane von Furstenberg at a party not too long ago.
Oh, God.
Oh, who hasn't? And I told her she looked fabulous, as always, but she sighed and said she was getting old. Ms. Love took her arm and told her, but I'm an archaeologist, my dear. To me, older is always more fascinating. This is my future wife!
Wow, that's some compliment.
You would never seem old. Awesome. Find it.
Are we going to have to
shove the 30 or so of the dachshunds out of the way?
Are we going to have to move you to New York again?
Maybe.
Oh, no.
Wear goggles.
Iris
wear goggles
love.
This time.
For Iris Love, yeah. I might go.
Wear safety goggles this time.
Let's go to Irene in Illinois. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Irene.
Hi. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good night,
I love
Irene.
The show.
Oh, wait.
That's... okay, that's a good old one. Love your show. My grandson was standing on the bed getting dressed for school, and he said, why are they on the TV on the radio?
It's all very confusing, I know.
Yes, it is. But anyway, I just wanted to make a comment about the president and his feelings about same-sex marriage. And as I was telling, I guess that's Rebecca, I don't know, I was saying that, you know, I seem to recall a while ago that the president said his personal opinion of that is he believes in marriage is between one man and one woman, but he also had a caveat saying that he believes that every American should have the right, the same right to the same, you know, life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. So therefore, you know, that to me is saying he has already stated his position.
Right.
I'm just a little confused on what exactly it is that people want to hear him say.
I think they want him to come out absolutely for marriage equality, you know, on the federal level. But I don't know if you heard what David Schuster was saying. You know, you look at, if you go deep into the polling, Irene, you look at independents, believe me, I just don't want anything to sway people so that this president is not going to be reelected, because we have made more progress right. on gay rights under this president than under every other president combined. And Romney would be an unmitigated disaster mm-hmm. in this area. So, you know, I of course I want him to come out for marriage equality. And I agree with David. I think most people think he will.
After
yeah.
he wins. Again.
Yeah, which is the yeah. fear of, you know. Republicans, to which I say good.
After it's politically expedient to do so. Well,
it's yeah, but not well. So what? You'd rather he doesn't get elected, and we you know, Romney will pass an amendment, and he has gone on record saying he favors a constitutional mm-hmm. amendment to ban gay marriage. So that would set us back.
I'm just saying Romney is doing things that are politically expedient for him.
This is
and Obama's doing things that are politically expedient for him.
Well, while also passing more legislation to help gays yes. than any president in our history. So I take exception with using the term politically expedient. He has actual beliefs and he's done actual things for actual gays.
Beliefs that are evolving.
Yes. Some people thought, he's not like Romney. Romney's a flip-flopper. He will say or do anything to get elected. You know, I mean, look at the polling. Americans have evolved on this issue. I'm gay, and I mean, back years ago, I never thought that would happen. You just thought, oh, you know, I remember thinking, oh, civil unions, that's fine, until I've evolved on it. So who hasn't? Education Secretary Arne Duncan broke ranks with the White House on Monday, stating his unequivocal support for same-sex marriage one day after Joe Biden suggested he supported gay marriage as well. Jay Carney, the president's press secretary.
I think you have heard him say, and those in the administration like myself who speak for him, that he strongly opposes efforts to restrict rights, to repeal rights for same-sex couples.
And then David Axelrod talking about the president as well yesterday.
I think that they were entirely consistent with the president's position, which is that couples who are married, whether they're gay or heterosexual couples, are entitled to the very same rights and very same liberties.
I mean, this is, you know, Jim, that we've talked about this actually even in the last cycle, but I think that sums this up. He's trying to satisfy rank-and-file Democrats by supporting a range of gay rights issues while without alienating crucial independent voters who could be turned off by an emotional social issue.
Right.
I mean, I couldn't obviously be more for marriage equality, but I think that, it, like you just mentioned,
smart
Chris,
strategy.
The Gallup poll, as much as we think Mittens is completely pathetic, he's head-to-head.
Absolutely.
In pretty much every Gallup poll, so
yeah.
This is not, you know... That's why I think this is such a crucial time. All right, we'll talk more about this and more comments.
I think Mittens will have a constitutional amendment to declare gays to be icky.
He probably will, if Brian Fisher asks him to. 17 yeah. minutes after the hour, right back with more on that as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Wow, I don't believe it. This is too good to be real.
Of course this is real.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
That's not my name. That's not my name.
That's not my name.
Stephanie Miller.
Mm-hmm. 22 minutes after the hour. This hour brought to you by Carbonite. Kids, all it takes is one irreplaceable file that goes poof, and
poof,
then you will know. You will know the power of Carbonite. You have a photo in there that you took years ago. You couldn't get it back. If you have financial documents, all mm-hmm. your music, mm-hmm. and then kablooey. It can be devastating if you can't get on any of that back. Don't take the risk. Just for peace of mind, start backing up your files with Carbonite Online Backup. Carbonite backs up all those files automatically and continually. Your files are stored safely and securely offsite in the cloud.
Ooh.
If a disaster happens, and it's, you know, it's always a when, not if.
That's right.
Carbonite has already restored over 7 billion files that would have been lost forever. Carbonite has a backup plan for you. Hello. Prices start at just $59 for the entire year.
That's a bargain.
That's what I said. Go to Carbonite.com. Yes.
Is there a backup plan if it's cloudless and sunny?
Yes.
What happens
it
then?
It works no matter what. Type in my name, Stephanie. That's your offer code, Stephanie, at Carbonite.com. You get a free trial plus 2 months free with your subscription. That's Carbonite.com, and the offer code is Stephanie. All right. Let's go to Tony in Phoenix on marriage equality. Hey, Tony.
Hi, Steph. Hi, guys. I love you very much.
Thank
you. Get me up in the morning.
Thank you.
I just wanted to give you a quote that I heard John Fugelsang say this morning on some other station. Being gay is natural. Hating gays is a choice.
I
thought that was fantastic.
Very good. Yay. And you'll hear more of that live in person in Minneapolis at the State Theater this Saturday. John Fugelsang, Aisha Tyler, and I, we're sexy liberal. All right. David Axelrod making the same point I just made about marriage equality.
There couldn't be a starker contrast on this issue than with... Governor Romney, who has funded efforts to roll back marriage laws in California and other places.
Yeah, Romney favors a constitutional amendment to ban gay marriage, saying the policy should be set federally, not by states. Some conservatives have questioned Romney's commitment, being that he is a spineless, soulless flip-flopper.
Yeah.
Because you recall when he was more pro-gay rights than Ted Kennedy, back when he was running for whatever. To put such doubts to rest, Romney told an Ohio television station Monday he believes marriage is between a man and a woman. That's a position I've had for some time, and I don't intend to make any adjustments at this point. Or ever, by the way. He quickly amended. You don't mean to imply that I'm a flip-flopper of some sort, do you? At this point. Isn't that perfect for Romney?
I don't intend to flip-flop at this point. At this point, I do, but not this point.
See, I think...
Now I'm at another point.
I think now that particularly he's gotten, you know, Santorum's backing, and Santorum, I think, has gotten promises to make sure there's a lot of right-wing wax in there.
No.
I think he can't, shake the Etch-a-Sketch now. I think he's... you know, that's probably what the meeting was. They were struggling over the Etch-A-Sketch, like my brother and I used to. Give me the...
Now his views are frozen in carbonite.
Thank you. Mm. Exactly.
Try shaking that.
Yep, you can't.
All right, Mandy in North Carolina.
I'd shake that for a dollar.
Mandy in North Carolina, where we remind you to vote no. Vote against Amendment 1 in North Carolina.
Now hear this. Vote against Amendment 1 in North Carolina.
This okay, hello, Mandy. Hi, Mandy.
I'm just calling to voice my opinion on this. You know, driving down the road, I see a lot of churches put up, you know, one man, one woman, and I'm just reminding people that, you know, you shouldn't judge, and, you know, these people have the right to get married.
Yeah.
And, you know, the churches shouldn't be, you know, persuading people to hate against these people because of their choices. But, you know, I come from the Bible Belt, and this is how they're seeing it. But everybody should be voting against today. You know, that just spreads hatred, them doing that.
Mandy, what happened to the separation of church and state? I agree. Should churches be telling you how to vote on political issues? I mean, it just seems...
Well, they should lose their tax-free status.
That's it. They can tell their parishioners how to vote however they want, but they should not have a tax-free status for doing so.
Right. And by the way, as we've pointed out over and over again, this amendment, gay marriage is already illegal. You're not voting on that today. Right. I mean, this really is egregious, this amendment.
You're voting on straight people's rights today.
Yeah, you're voting on unmarried couples will have rights taken away.
Yep.
I mean, it's...
Of course, in the case of Ted Haggard, it's one man, one woman, and another man.
Yes, exactly. Okay, Chris in Baltimore, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Chris, welcome.
Hi, thanks. You guys have me laughing again, as usual.
Thank you.
So I wanted to comment on the thing that the comments that people are making in the mainstream media, excuse me, I'm tongue-tied today, about President Obama's evolving, quote-unquote. And the thing is, the mainstream media is giving John Boehner a pass on his spending millions of tax dollars to defend DOMA in court.
Yeah.
And the president told the DOJ, stop defending DOMA.
Yep.
And to me, that speaks louder than words.
Yeah, no, absolutely. These are the fiscal conservatives. They're spending, you know, and on really fancy lawyers to try to defend DOMA, to defend something that's indefensible, in my opinion.
Thank you.
All right. Oh, thank you. Oh, no, thank you. He'll take no further questions from me.
Thank you. No.
Well, no,
you.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
All right, Cindy in Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Cindy.
After you. Oh, no. You first.
Oh,
thank
please.
You.
All right. Hello, Cindy.
Hi. Steph, Chris, Jim, I'm enjoying Current, first of all.
Yay.
And Mitt Romney, you know, this thing with him taking credit for the auto bailout.
Yeah.
You know, it was President Obama who was in the Situation Room who made the decision to use the SEALs to get bin Laden and get all the computers and intelligence that the bombing would have destroyed if they'd used a bomb. And even Robert Gates, who's no squishy liberal, said the courage that took for the president to do that. The president is never supposed to admit that he had anything to do with it, that all he did was deliver snacks to the Situation Room or whatever.
Yes.
And yet Mitt Romney can say he was in on the auto bailout. And I do remember when the auto bailout happened and they were in the very middle of it here in Michigan, that the president, part of the conditions of getting the money and doing what they had to do, which would have still been the way a bankruptcy would have happened, they had to replace the CEO, they had to restructure compensation, and he was called a dictator.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Oh, yeah, he wants to own car companies and blah, blah, blah. Exactly. And you know, Romney is on record as being absolutely against what they did. And it just, for any reporter to not point that fact out.
I did this with my hands when I was against it, which means I'm for it.
You don't have to say the L word. You could say, not true, governor. How about that?
Yeah, but it still makes him a liar.
Yeah. Well, 29 minutes after the
prevaricator.
Hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
One of Look Magazine's 100 Most Promising Clowns of 1958.
34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Tuesday, everybody. There's only one man now that understands. And that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce. Pierce.
Charlie Pierce, political columnist for Esquire.com.
Why is everybody always laughing? Mm-hmm.
I just edged him out for Top Clown of 1958. Hello, Charlie Pierce.
In Look magazine.
Well, I know, but I didn't peak until 59 or 60.
Yeah.
That was when my earlier, funnier work came out.
Speaking of some of your funnier work, the Romney piece, hilarious, may I just say.
Thank you.
You say you may have noticed the conservative cats and kittens have been busy making an uneasy peace with the notion the former governor of the People's Republic of Obamacare and gay marriage is your Republican nominee for president of the United States. Just the other day, he met with, he landed the endorsement of the girl with the faraway eyes, as you call Michelle Bachmann, and is rumored to fool 60% of the voices in her head. And I love your speech. You said you put on your speech writing hat, which is a neat little derby with a green feather.
Yes, it is. When I worked for Estes Kefauver, that's what I used to wear around the office. Oh, someone got an Estes Kefauver joke. Everybody under the age of 50 in the audience is going, how come I'm listening to NPR? So I should say that.
Time for some fart jokes.
there we go.
All right. Charlie, you helpfully
wrote... Are you bringing the act to Boston again, did I hear?
Yeah, June. Hello.
Hey.
June 9th.
Yeah.
I'll be there.
With Aisha Tyler this time.
Oh, excellent.
Hello.
Excellent. All right. Shaking things up. Hal's touring with the band, right?
What's that? Yeah, Hal is touring with the band, and he will be in Germany in June, and then he will be back with us.
But back at the Wilbur Theater.
Yes, excellent.
Yes, and by the by, so you helpfully wrote a speech for Mitt Romney, which I hope he uses, because it begins, "I'm Mitt Romney, bitches, and I'm all you've got left."
Well, this is one of the continuing series on the blog. This is the fourth speech I've written for Mitt.
Really?
Where he explains basically that that he has more money than all your gods, and he can do anything he wants, and you people can take him or leave him.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it would be a lot better if he said that.
Yes, he should say, "I told you this day was coming. I told you I had enough money to buy every one of the people in the whole damn clown show, and still have more than enough left over to buy the wife a few more $990 t-shirts that look like body tattoos. I'm Mitt Romney's bitches, and I can buy your world." That is, it must be the green feather, because that's some great speech writing.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be the game-changing speech he's looking for. I want this job because I'm richer than you are, basically.
Neener.
Yes, and I can say anything I want and do anything I want, because you know what? If I lose, I've got a house in Malibu.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. With car elevators. Yeah, it's actually La Jolla.
La Jolla.
Who's paying attention? So
aren't they the same thing? Isn't California only have one beach?
Yeah.
Just one.
Yeah, pretty much.
La Jolla is the Republican Malibu.
Yes. Yeah.
What?
La Jolla is the Republican Malibu.
That's down in San Diego.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Please, Charlie, the boo tends to be liberal.
Is that where the Republicans, oil their bodies and lift weights and stuff?
So, Charlie, the big Santorum endorsement, that's going to be the boost.
How many times you figure it got caught in the spam filter at Romney headquarters?
Yeah.
And by the way, thank you for mentioning what a colossal Santorum is once again.
Thank you. I think we cannot go many days without being reminded of that.
Yes. Yes. That was a really long, rambly letter. That I guess was a endorsement, right?
Yeah, I suppose so. What the heck? Mm. Sure. By the way, I have this campaign debt.
Yeah. But don't you think that I was saying it's going to make it tougher for Romney to shake the Etzer sketch? I mean, don't you think that's what Santorum was obviously, most of the letter was about, is demanding that there be representation of right-wing whacks in a Romney administration?
Yeah, I think he's going to have to live with that Etch-a-Sketch thing for a while, because he didn't have to do this. I still maintain he would have won the nomination if he didn't go quite that far to the right.
Right.
I mean, the party was not going to allow itself to nominate Rick Santorum. It wasn't going to do it. It was going to have a 5-day festival of fruitcakes down in Tampa. I don't think so.
But Romney can't stand up to anybody, whether it's the Brian Fisher, the right wing radio host that made him fire the gay guy that he hired 2 weeks earlier, whether it's his
and then called him a puss for doing so,
or this audience member that just accused the president of treason, and Romney of course says nothing.
Yeah, well, interestingly though, that that woman in the audience is, you know, except for the whole, except for the part about trying him for treason.
Yes.
She's not that far outside of the Republican mainstream.
Yeah.
It is a mainstream Republican thought that the president has acted on, in an unprecedentedly unconstitutional manner. That's how we wound up with all that talk about the czars. I mean, that's the primary argument against affordable health care, which 6 months ago constitutional scholars were laughing at and seems to be within an ace of winning.
Yeah, yeah. This is, for those of you that just tuned in, don't know what we're talking about. This was Romney yesterday at a town hall with an audience member.
We have a president right now that is operating outside the structure of our Constitution. And I do agree he should be tried for treason. But I want to know what you are going to be able to do to help restore balance between the three branches of government and what you're going to be able to do to restore our Constitution in this country.
Mm. Well, as I'm sure you do, I happen to believe that the Constitution was not just brilliant, but probably inspired.
Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, it doesn't matter the rest of what he said. Blah, blah, blah.
Puppies and ice
cream. Just skip over that part.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he got caught up short a little bit there. I don't think the Constitution was divinely inspired, and neither did the people who wrote it think of the Constitution as divinely inspired, and they would throw up if you mentioned that to them now.
They were proud that men wrote that.
Not only that, but they were very proud that they didn't put God in it.
Yeah.
I mean, you will not find that any reference to the deity anywhere in the Constitution. Right. That's not an accident.
Yeah. Well, but even that woman, for that crowd, it was like a... wasn't it, Jim, like a comic that got a little over-anxious that she thought she was doing great? She just went one more. I shaved my pubic hair like Paul Ryan. What?
What?
Oh.
What?
No?
Too much?
No.
Too soon?
Okay. What? Just me? Okay. But I mean, it just, how could you not comment on her saying that? I mean, it just, he just has no principles of any kind.
I would almost guarantee you that he probably didn't hear it. I don't think he listens to these people.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah.
I mean, I really don't. You know, I think it's the Charlie Brown teacher in his head.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he's moving on to, I mean, the Romney bot moves from talking point to talking point. He's not paying attention to other, you know, sensory stimuli around him.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, I believe in the Constitution and puppies and Christmas.
I think it was divinely inspired.
Is it time to talk about pancakes again yet?
Yeah.
The Constitution is just the right height.
Charlie,
better, Jim. I got to tell you,
I'm not even sure you could believe today's headline, though, that Romney claims credit for the auto rescue. I mean, is this how it's going to be?
I also won World War II.
He's going to run on just complete falsehoods.
This is one of these days where I think Al Gore must be sitting alone in his very large, ecologically sound house and downing bourbon in the morning.
First of all, because he hired me.
If I'd only actually been the liar this guy is, I might have gotten elected.
Yeah.
Of course, it's sustainable bourbon, I'll have you know.
Recycled bourbon.
Oh, right. All right, let's get to your Harsh My Obama Buzz piece because.
Of course, because how can it be a week if I don't do that?
No, of course not. But, you know, you do the, I get it, the shoulda, coulda, woulda, that the president should have been calling them out sooner. You say the partnership government didn't break down, the Republicans broke it and then walked away from the splinters, period. There's nowhere near enough of that kind of talk over the past 3 years. He seems finally to realize the complete dementia of the modern Republican Party. He seems willing, if not entirely happy, to hang all of this crackpottery on the neck of Willard Romney, who had to pay fealty to it in order to get nominated, blah, blah, blah. So you say, absent being granted all they want, the opposition has no interest in being a partner in the governing of the country. Obviously, that's clear at this point. So you say it begins this weekend, the president's last chance to educate the country as to what's happened to it over the past 30 years. Who's been primarily responsible for it? Personally, at this moment, I think he's probably going to lose.
I'm not really happy with the poll numbers right now.
Yeah, well,
I will probably lose that bet if I bet it, but I don't like what I'm seeing with the way the country is just sort of surly at this point and sort of unsatisfied. Mm-hmm. And he is, of course, far more subject to the tyranny of events than the other guy is.
Mm-hmm.
If something goes wrong, it's on him.
Yeah.
It's not on the other. I mean, unless, you know, Romney gets caught in the cheap motel out by the airport with someone. I mean, there's nothing Romney can really do to blow himself up at this point.
Well, I mean,
and there's nothing anybody else can really do to him.
Yeah, and meanwhile, the president just pulled another.
By cheap motel, you mean the Ritz Carlton?
When I'm slumming.
No, that would be the Ritz Carlton Express with the free time.
Oh God.
But, you know, I mean, I think that he's still out there saying things like, oh, unemployment should be 4%, you know, and you have to give Robert Reich credit. He's like, yeah, it was 4% when I was Labor Secretary, and we pursued these policies exactly the opposite of what you're proposing.
And I believe that Robert Reich is right, and I believe that Mitt Romney is fibbing his brains out, and I look at the polls, and they're still tied.
Yeah, but we're way far out, aren't we?
We are way far out, but people have gotten to know Mitt Romney pretty well at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think it's going to be a long, long, long election night.
September, October. Okay, I'm just saying we have several more months of Mitt Romney talking. So factor that in.
Conceivably, he could say something that torpedoes his entire campaign, or he could nominate a true lunatic for vice president. But I don't think he's already done most of the first, and I don't think he's going to do the second.
Right.
I mean, there's already a long catalog of preposterous things he said.
Yeah. No, that's true.
You know, that's
been my question this morning, Charlie. Is the mainstream media going to do their job when he says something laughable on its face, like "I saved the auto industry"?
But Charlie's right. He may get someone like a Marco Rubio or a Governor Christie mm-hmm. on, and that'll boost his numbers.
Yep.
Especially with the moderates.
I don't understand how it would do that, given what Rubio and Christie actually believe, but it's entirely possible that would happen.
Yeah, because they're quite popular.
Well,
nationally.
If he puts, Christie on the other end of the, what's that thing, the teeter-totter?
Oh.
You know, that could end badly for him.
I think he's going to wind up picking poor, dull, boring Rob Portman.
Do you really?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really think he's got it in him to go along with that choice. Mm. And I think the party's terrified after what happened last time.
Yeah, well, he certainly...
I mean, Kelly Ayotte has less chance of being his vice president than I do.
Yeah.
Because they're just not going... First of all, they're not going to pick two people from New England. That's insane.
Right.
That's true.
I mean, the rest of the party will go crazy. And they're not going to pick another relatively inexperienced woman, because Sarah Palin has ruined that for... Kelly Ayotte and everyone
forever.
Else.
Forever, thanks.
For a few cycles.
Yeah. Thanks. For all of us with vaginas, thanks.
I mean, I just can't imagine, the delegates from the Deep South looking up, and there's your entire Republican ticket from New England.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll see.
I don't hold with it.
Yeah, exactly. Charlie Pierce, my best to you and your delightful little hat with the green feather.
Thank you.
All right.
I will talk next week.
All right.
Yay!
We'll see you next week. Yay, Charlie Pierce. We'll see you next week. He has a special speechwriting hat. And he does look cute in that hat. All right, 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She's your human happy pill.
Happy, happy, joy, joy, joy.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
No, don't dance like that.
Don't get fancy or dancy.
No.
Look at me. Check it out.
Don't get dancy. Please.
Let's be serious.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. You know why we're playing this?
Why are we playing this?
Because I'm going to meet the president and Pink in June. Big fundraiser out here in L.A.
Wow.
Ha.
Cool.
Yeah.
And
right.
By get to meet, you mean pay for the privilege.
Pay for a lot of money.
Yeah.
It sounds like an
Oprah's
Meadow situation.
We invite you to
situation.
Let us shove our DNC vacuum cleaner into your bank account.
That's it.
For the opportunity to get fancy and dancy with Pink and the president, I said yes.
That's it.
Why, yes.
You just took it up to your central vacuuming system. And just,
yeah. Yes. Oh, boy. Hey, by the way, Joe Solomon, I always say that wrong.
Solomonese.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Human Rights Campaign president.
Yep.
Had this to say on the marriage.
I've heard efforts from within the administration to say that the president and the vice president have the same position. So one could conclude then, therefore, the president supports marriage equality.
Yes, and he said it becomes increasingly difficult to finesse this for very much longer. The president's going to get asked about this every time there's an opportunity. And it says here, one upcoming opportunity is a campaign fundraiser Obama is scheduled to headline with gay and lesbian supporters in early June here in Los Angeles with Pink.
Hey, and you'll be there.
I'll be there. I'll be there, being happy and clappy.
Will she be doing her trapeze act, Pink, when she flies to the air singing while upside down?
I don't know.
In high heels?
I don't know.
It's pretty amazing, actually.
I may have to,
She's very bendy.
No, that's Shakira. Okay.
The issue also expected to surface at the Democratic Convention in September, where many party leaders want to include support for gay marriage in the official platform. Caroline Kennedy, one of Obama's campaign co-chairs, voiced her support for that effort on Monday. So this may come to a head before,
so to speak, as it were.
Before the campaign, we just don't know. Washington Post ABC News poll found 52% think marriage equality should be legal. 43% say it should be illegal. Democrats at 64% supportive of the issue. Independents at 54%. Support among Republicans, of course, 39%.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. So Rebecca in North Carolina, where they vote on Amendment 1 today, and Jim would like to remind you.
Where they vote against Amendment 1 today.
Yes, please vote against.
Now hear this.
Okay.
Please vote against Amendment 1.
Yes.
Vote yes or no.
What?
Vote
no.
against Amendment 1. Hello, Rebecca.
Hello, Stephanie. Hi. Yes, I definitely voted against Amendment 1.
Thank you.
When I went to vote, though, I wanted to tell you that my voting location was changed. It used to be at a library, at a public library, and now it's at a church.
Huh.
And the enormous marquee out in front of the church says, on May 8th, vote for marriage.
Wow.
Hey.
And I don't know, is that right?
That shouldn't be right.
Not with taxpayer money, that shouldn't
nope.
be right.
Nope.
Yep.
Yeah.
They should get a big bill from the IRS.
Rebecca,
what's your sense? I know that the latest polling didn't look great on it, which, you know, I hate when they release polling. That I know they were upset that soon, you know, close to the vote, because they feel like it dispirits people and takes the
right.
the wind out of people's sails, going, oh, it's not gonna win.
That's what my general feeling was there, too. They had another person standing outside telling people to vote for the marriage bill.
Wow.
I just feel like they're preying on, you know.
Both ways. Both ways you can use that word.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. Thank you. Let's go to.
See what you did there.
Yeah, I see what you did there. Morris in Atlanta. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Morris.
All right. I love your posture on the current.
Yes, I get a lot of compliments on my posture.
Yeah.
Which I'll take it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's from Catholic school.
All right.
Oh, yeah, it's very nice. Hey, I want to just go into this stuff. You're on a theme today, which you're talking about how the media, just the mainstream media, let these stupid guys just get on TV and say anything. For example, you could say the world is, you have somebody from GOP, the world is flat, and then you have somebody dispute those claims that
right.
will say, hey, no, it's not flat. But then the media would pick up, the mainstream media would pick
right.
up on it and say, we're having an argument.
Wolf Blitzer would say,
we'll have to leave it there.
There's both sides have valid points. We'll have to leave it there.
If the world were round, you would indeed fall off. It's a valid point.
I think my point is well taken.
Morris, I love your laugh. Oh, my God.
That's a man giggle.
Oh, yes. I heard a lot of soccer moms calling this morning. I figured I would change it up a little
there
bit.
You
there.
There you go. B in Texas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, B.
Thank you. So glad I got through.
Yeah.
I'm calling in response to the lady who had trouble with someone approaching her and her husband because they hate the president.
Yes.
In the grocery store. Okay, I have to do my grocery shopping here, and we go through that here every week. And these people from the other side come into the grocery stores or the dollar stores, and they'll just make these loud racist statements about the president. But on the Democratic side, We don't, as women getting up grocery shopping, we don't go out looking for fights.
Yeah.
So I don't understand that. And I'm hoping maybe some type of way we can help people like this lady who they voice their opinions. Some of them use bumper stickers, which we're terrified to do here because they'll damage our cars. Maybe like with the mic check idea, they had a way to get their message across. Maybe these musicians can insert the words, tune out the violence, into their music and remix it or something, and maybe we could play it on our radios as a way to show that we're unified and we know what they're going through.
Yeah.
And it happens here in Texas very, very every day, just about.
Yep, I hear you, and I agree. I do not want to be flyered at the grocery store. Leave me alone. I do not want to join your invitation on LinkedIn, and I do not want your flyer at the supermarket.
Bah, humbug.
Just telling you right now.
And I don't care about your clout score.
If I'm looking for frozen peas, get out of my face with your flyer.
I don't know about your latest Angry Birds level that you're on. I don't care!
Pat in Maryland. Hey, Pat, welcome.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
Listen, I get ready to call, and I have two comments about the marriage equality situation.
Yes.
I don't know whether that's the right word or not, but when everybody said that he should say something, but if President Obama said anything, the Republicans are trying to stop blacks from voting, and if he comes out for gay marriage, he's going to lose quite a few black votes, too, because...
Well, that's a topic we've talked about, because as you've said, it's so close, Jim, you can't afford to lose mm-hmm. anybody in this election cycle.
You can vote on the down low. In fact, that's how it's done.
58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number, stephaniemiller.com. The website, sexyliberal.com. The sexyliberal website. And, of course, current.com. There's a chat room there as well.
Yes.
And many of the comments start with poor Jackie Schechner.
Yes. But this was in your chat room where yes. they said, poor Jackie Schechner. She's the Margaret Dumont to talk radio's Marx Brothers.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We apologize.
She's much too thin to be Margaret Dumont.
She made the mistake of coming to party with us, and now we can't help ourselves with a dinosaur. Well, she tweeted earlier that she's the only news anchor that has to follow a dinosaur fart story.
Yeah.
But listen, it's science, Stack. It's science. I think we need to cover the whole thing. I mentioned it. Yeah.
Yeah, we blinded her with science.
Yeah, we're on Al Gore's network. We
Man
must.
On the moon. And other news, dinosaur farts caused the end of...
This is a cautionary tale, a new study from British scientists.
So you know it's good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They may have contributed to their own extinction through excessive flatulence.
Mm-hmm.
The humongous herbivores.
They had too much bran in their
sure,
diet.
Sure, right?
Yeah.
Too much roughage. Zoinks.
I would have had English breakfast with the baked beans. And
they produced over 500 million bangers. Tons of methane a year through farts, according to the study. There is a fart study, is all I'm saying. It is believed the Mesozoic era was up to 18 degrees Fahrenheit warmer than average.
Because of dinosaur farts.
Mm.
Wow.
Hold my finger. Oh, wait, I don't have one.
Mess.
We haven't evolved those yet.
Stop holding my head under the tree. Ah!
And if it's T-Rex, it's a really tiny finger, because it's on really tiny arms.
Oh, you can barely even find your little finger.
Pull my finger. Pull it.
Okay. Yeah, somebody needs to do Jurassic Fart. Somebody working on that? Okay.
Just because you can't doesn't mean you should.
Somebody has one-upped Tan Mom. Mom helps barely teen daughter take naked photos to send to her 30-year-old boyfriend.
Nice.
Oh, God.
There's nothing not wrong with that sentence.
Right? Do I even need to do the whole story? Tan Mom's like, whew, thank God. Keeps off me.
Well,
mother of
literally.
A 13-year-old girl from Utah.
Oh, go figure.
You know. Where Orrin Hatch is not quite conservative enough for them.
Yeah.
Porn capital of the U.S.
Yeah, exactly. Was charged last week with 3 counts of sexual exploitation of a minor after she allegedly snapped naked photos of her daughter to send to the teen's 30-year-old boyfriend.
Okay.
Girl didn't know how to use the phone. Mom, would you mind taking pictures?
If you don't know how to use a phone, then you probably shouldn't be dating a 30-year-old.
Yeah.
Rule of thumb.
Just saying. Okay. All right, so I am off to Minneapolis this weekend. A very, very few tickets left for the Aisha Tyler, John Fugelsang, and me, Sexy Liberal Show, this weekend at the State Theater, Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm.
And just in time, see, I have thwarted security again because I don't wear underwear because they have thwarted yet another underwear bomb plot. Did you see this?
Yeah.
The CIA thwarted an ambitious plot by Al-Qaeda's affiliate in Yemen to destroy a U.S.-bound airliner with a bomb using a sophisticated new design. Around the one-year anniversary of the killing of bin Laden, the plot involved an upgrade of the underwear bomb. And also, maybe have the guy put a comb through his hair,
bomb.
You know.
Yeah, just a little grooming tip.
Yes. The FBI is examining the latest bomb to see whether it could have passed through airport security and brought down an airplane. They said the device did not contain metal, meaning it probably could have passed through an airport metal detector. Not clear whether the body scanners used in many airports would have detected it. The would-be suicide bomber based in Yemen had not yet picked a target or bought a plane ticket when the CIA stepped in and seized the
Come on.
Yeah.
The underwears. By the way, on Sunday, a senior Al-Qaeda leader was hit by a missile.
Was an accident.
He was on the FBI's most wanted list and indicted. He was indicted for his role in the bombing of the Kohl. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, the president, you know, that's two more Al-Qaeda plus. Bam, nothing but net, just saying. All right, but Mitten saved the auto industry. But.
Oh, and I blew up that terrorist.
That was all apparently, he'll take credit for that. All right. Joan in Pennsylvania, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hello. Oh, thank you. Thank you.
That sounds like Jack Benny's Maxwell.
Thank you, Kim. Stephanie, 2 points. Number one, why did you hide Rebecca's banjo from her?
Why didn't I hide her banjo from her?
Why did you hide her banjo?
I can't control her. She's a wild woman.
Just know, she has my combat helmet, so if you try to hit her over the head with it, it's
yes.
not gonna...
Yes. Okay. All right.
Okay. Second point. We went through this before when President Obama was just a candidate.
Right.
And everybody didn't know whether or not he had the experience and everything. But what we have to understand and remember that as soon as we get nearer and nearer to November, all of his records, everything that he's wanted to do will stand out. And then hopefully people will have the scales removed from their eyes and see the difference between Obama and Romney. And I don't know what Romney's him talking about the Constitution being in the divinely inspired. What else is he going to do? They'll change the Bible, the Bible, and put Romney chapter 20, verse 1 in there.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Romney's got several months of gaffes, you know, before the election.
And so. I can't wait till that exchange, you know, the president going, so you saved the auto industry. Really?
Tell us how you did it.
Really? All right, let's dive into the right-wing world.
So we haven't done that yet, have we?
No, we have not. We have Steve Hayes on the Brit Bear. Talking about what the lesson we take from France, Jim.
We've had decades of economic policy for which we don't want to draw any lessons, apparently. At least many of our leaders don't want to draw economic policy. I would say that the lesson from Europe goes back decades and involves the inexorable growth of the state rather than 2 years of austerity or, in some cases, fake austerity.
Jim, would you like to explain it?
The austerity was imposed from the outside. Right. It wasn't... The Europeans hate it. The French especially.
Imagine this. Working folk don't like austerity measures imposed upon them because of things that they didn't do.
Exactly.
Hello. Hello. All right.
Again, read the shock doctrine.
Thank you. Rush Limbaugh.
What's America? The land of the free, the home of the brave. What's so bad about it? Hell, we even got Sharia law in some parts of it. Pretty soon you're going to be able to make love to your dead wife for 6 hours.
Huh?
Won't have to go to Egypt for that.
What?
Obama already thinks there are too many countries like America. It's a problem. We got to fix them all, including us.
What the hell is he talking
about? You'll be able to make love to your dead wife for 6 hours. What?
I just think I'm going to buy.
What the hell is he talking about? Really?
I don't know.
Okay. Yeah.
He's just trying to foment fear in his audience again in order to vote for Romney.
Sharia law, yeah. Okay.
It's so stupid it's playing its audience for fools.
Oh, I can't hear enough from Bill Donahue, that blowhole from the Catholic League.
The last three archbishops in Kansas City have called her on the carpet about her Catholic status. She was asked point blank by one of them, is there one single abortion restrictive legislation that you've ever endorsed? She said no. Her best friend was George the Killer Tiller, the partial birth abortionist who was taken out, and she raised money for him.
Taken
in
out.
Other words, it's impossible to be more pro-abortion than Kathleen Sebelius.
So was taken out as if that was legal
sure
and appropriate somehow?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just saying. And her best friend was not George Tiller.
No. Okay, the whole thing was just, you know what, let's not even dwell.
You know, Bill Donahue's a liar. He really is.
Let's move on to Eric Bolling on the 5.
The far left-wing blog Politico ran a piece on the front page today, taking a cheap shot at us here at Fox, specifically our chairman, Mr. Roger Ailes. They claim that Republicans make it their business to swing by Fox. Okay, and your point is what, Politico? Sure, GOPs come by Fox. Democrats are welcome here, too.
Newsmakers
come by Fox because, well, they're newsmakers. Celebrities, heroes, athletes, and yes, politicians want to be on the most viewed cable news network on the planet. Politico should rename itself Hypocritico. More far left if they tried.
What's Politico?
Far left?
Since when did Politico become a far left line?
Right, Priebus writes for Politico. That's not very far left.
I guess if you're to the right of Hitler, everyone looks like a leftist. But what? Huh?
Wow.
Okay, so anybody who doesn't agree with Eric Bolling or anybody on Fox News is far left.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
okay. Left. Thank you for showing your true stripes
there. Guess
they
have the audacity to somehow imply that Fox News in some way... Yes. Leans right to some degree.
That's crazy. Anybody who criticizes Fox is far left.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Okay, Dick Morris on Fox and Friends.
If Obama forces him out or, you know, makes him resign in the face of all this stuff, it's going to send a bad message to the black community. On the other hand, if Holder is sitting there as Attorney General being persecuted in the eyes of many of the African-American community by the Republicans in Congress, he becomes a symbol of victimization and helpful to Obama because he'll help generate a turnout.
Wow. All I got there was something about victim of persecution.
Obama wants, is the only reason Obama is keeping Eric Holder in there is so that he can get votes from the black
people. Because black people won't vote for him otherwise.
Yeah.
Because his approval rating's so low. Okay. Wow. What? Dick Morris is a complete waste of space, and he's wrong about everything ever.
And I stand by my prediction that Sarah Palin will be queen of Greece. No, sorry, Brazil.
John Scott and Rich Lowry on Fox News Watch. Two finished right with Warren.
American al-Qaeda spokesman Adam Gadon discussed al-Qaeda's media strategy, and he said, in general, and no matter what material we send, I suggest we should distribute it to more than one channel. As for Fox News, let her die in anger.
Well, you wonder, did these guys go to some school where they come up with this flowery language, let her die in her fire? And this guy, obviously, if the terrorism thing doesn't work out, he can be an intern at Media Matters. Basically the same take on the media as they do.
Because, see, Media Matter and terrorists, the same.
There's like a terrorist
story. Okay, so anybody who disagrees with Fox News is now a terrorist.
A terrorist.
Okay.
And a leftist.
And far left
terrorist.
Blog.
May I just say, that was a somewhat pathetic right-wing world. It really was. That was, come on, you can do better than that. Kids, step it up for tomorrow. 18 minutes after the hour.
I feel like a failure now.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
What is this, the Twilight Zone?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800. The toll free from anywhere.
Sounds like a brontosaurus, I think. Yeah.
Representative Karen Bass coming up after the bottom of the hour.
That's terrific, Bass.
Thank you. Dave in Minneapolis. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Steph. I just thought I'd let you know that I'm going to be there to see you. I don't have one of the meet and greet tickets because I'm an overpaid government employee and I can't afford it. But I'm going to be there, and it's going to be great.
If you're anywhere in the audience, there's a good chance I'll grope you. Don't worry about it.
Well, I'm on the main floor, really close to the stage, so I'll be able to see you up close and personal.
You're going
to
get you'll get some of my DNA on you, I promise you.
Well, I'm going to bring a few things up there. Let me bring a swag bag with me. I may have something for you.
Thank you. All right, Davis, we'll see you then. All right,
it's a swag bag or swag bag?
Minneapolis. Something.
Slag bag.
Slag bag for you. Barb in New York. Hey, Barb, welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
I have to ask you something, but I wanted to quick say, Mitt's responsible for the auto industry, and I'm wondering if he's responsible for the fart study also. But
yes.
Anyway.
Yes.
So I was wondering what you think about fining religious leaders, you know, tax-exempt religious leaders who endorse political figures, you know, like they do on TV or radio for swearing, you know, stopping the conservative right-wing extremists from pushing their evil political views of hatred.
Well, I think it's the same point we've been making all morning, right, Jim? You can't, you shouldn't get tax dollars to, you know, to push your political views right. on people. It's just
you should lose your tax exempt status if you start doing that.
There you go. All right, the president on the campaign trail about Romney.
He doesn't seem to understand that maximizing profits by whatever means necessary, whether through layoffs or outsourcing or tax avoidance or union busting, might not always be good for the average American. Or for the American economy.
And then with the zinger, the anti-Romney zinger yesterday.
I don't care how many ways you try to explain it. Corporations aren't people.
Uh-huh.
People are people.
People who need people.
Freebird. Oh, looky here, Jim. You know how anti-business the president is. America's corporations made a record $824 billion last year.
Damn you, Obama. How? That's a good thing.
Yeah, as according to the latest data, he's been very good for America's biggest businesses. Last year, the Fortune 500 made a record $824 billion, topping the previous record set before the Great Recession.
Somewhere Mitt Romney is singing, oh, doo-doo.
Who said President Obama himself is the most anti-business president in my lifetine? Who said that?
Hermann Göring.
Doesn't matter. No, some idiot.
Some idiot, yeah.
Gary Shapiro, president of the Consumer Electronics Something Association.
Whatever.
And Flavin. And Sons. Okay.
Limited.
Mitt Romney yesterday.
Not enough people have been finding good jobs, and a lot of people have lost their homes. That's a promise he wasn't able to keep.
You're the one who wants to kick people out of their houses as quickly as possible so that house flippers could buy them up.
You didn't want to help people who were being...
Hurry up. Can someone get these hobos out of the houses more quickly? For God's sakes. This is the rhetoric from the Tea Party. Representative Bobby Schilling, Republican of Illinois, he's a Tea Party guy.
Is that who you are? What do you do?
He captured the Times did a piece on him, and they captured him agreeing the president may intentionally try to make America fail. He said they're very anti-capitalist, he told a dozen female Republican volunteers, responding to one woman who asked whether he thought Mr. Obama had campaigned in 2008 with a strategy to make America fail. Mr. Schilling said of the slow and economic recovery, a lot of people think this is being done on purpose.
Some people say. Yeah, that's how you win an election, is make the country fail. What?
Sure. A lot of other idiots like you. A lot of other people like that.
Think about what you're going to say before you say it.
No.
Mittens, yes.
We need to have a president who understands what it takes to get the economy going again.
Not
with policies of the past that don't work.
You're the one with the policies from the past. It's a trickle-down times 10.
God.
Ugh. This is it. The headlines are all the same. To protect the military budget, House GOP plans to cut 25% from programs directly benefiting the poor.
Mm-hmm.
In order, by the way, they'll be protecting largely useless weapons programs.
Yeah. That airplane that can't fly
in the rain.
The problem with the F-22 is that the oxygen system is
it's
faulty.
It's making pilots pass out while they're flying the plane.
I'm not a pilot, but I think right away that's probably bad.
You kind of need oxygen.
Instead of having oxygen tanks, they're sucking what little oxygen they can get from high altitude through the engines. And they don't know if it's just hypoxia or if there's some contaminant that's getting into their masks from it. That's a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If you're unconscious,
pilots have passed out while flying the plane.
Yeah.
That's not good.
No. 29 minutes after the hour, Representative Karen Bass of the great state of California next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I remember her looking a lot older. She looks about our age now. Oh, she's had work done.
Yeah. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12. Mitt Romney, yesterday.
His vision is to keep spending about $1 trillion more every year than we take in.
Huh?
In my view, that is not just bad economics. It's immoral for us to pass those obligations on to the next generation.
Oh, shut up.
But presumably, he is for what we just talked about, to protect the military budget. House Republicans plan to cut 25% from programs directly benefiting the poor. And
my point is, screw the poor.
Yes, exactly.
That's what I'm saying.
Exactly his point. Okay, let's talk to one of our very personal favorites, Representative Karen Bass of the great state of California. Good morning, Representative.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. We were just talking about this, the Republicans' plan to boost the military and cut, here we go again, right, and cut social programs.
That's right. You got it, Stephanie. That's the way they do every time, which is really pretty crazy. I mean, it's actually sad. You know, we sat through hearings yesterday in the Budget Committee. We must have been there 8 straight hours in hearings, listening to the Republicans over and over again. When it came to safety net programs, their view of the world is that they're all duplicative and that you don't really need them, and that because they were created in the 1950s, they're somehow outdated. So it reflects a complete disconnection with the reality, and in particular the economic pain that people are experiencing right now. They want to protect defense at all costs, and of course we know that our number one priority is to make sure that our nation is safe, but they want to even protect the defense in ways and ordering equipment that the military doesn't even want to have.
Right. Yeah, or that are largely useless weapon systems. And it's the $55 billion, and they're saying they want to use cuts to food aid, health care, social services like Meals on Wheels. Fully one-fourth of these spending cuts come from programs directly benefiting the poor, correct? Medicaid, food stamps, child tax credit, et cetera, right?
Well, absolutely. I mean, you are talking about cutting off a potential 1.8 million people from food stamps and 30,000 children losing free school meals. One of the things that I said yesterday is that they want to cut food stamps, but yet they don't want to cut subsidies to farming corporations. Now, yeah. When you take food stamps, when people go to the market, they go to their local grocery stores, you are putting resources right back in the neighborhoods. So it impacts the economy in a positive way when food stamps are spent in the community. But they would rather protect large corporate farms than they would people who might go hungry.
And, Representative, we just played that sound clip of Mitt Romney talking about what's immoral, you know, as regards to the budget. I mean, the U.S. Conference of Bishops last month criticized the Republicans' cuts, of course, to food stamps, et cetera, and other safety net programs as unjustified. You know, but here we go again. The Republican plan, of course, will be dead arrival in the Senate, right?
But absolutely, fortunately,
as somebody said, they're likely just a sample of what's in store next year from Republicans if Mitt Romney wins the White House and the GOP takes back the Senate. These are their priorities, right?
When Governor Romney said he embraced the Paul Ryan Republican budget, he has told all of us what his vision of this country is. And frankly, I don't think it's consistent with yours or mine. It represents a point of view that says there are the makers in society and the takers. The makers are people who are wealthy. The takers are those who might need a safety net. But I always say over and over again, how is it that we could live in the richest country on the planet in the history of the world, and we can't figure out how to have a basic safety net?
Yep.
I just think it's unacceptable.
Well, I guess he knows what he's talking about since he saved the auto industry, as you may have heard him say yesterday.
Yes, yes, yes. I have heard him say that. You know, a couple of other programs that would be cut if their budget was implemented. You're talking about reducing Meals on Wheels, you know, which for some low-income seniors might be the only balanced meal they have in a given day. You're also talking about cutting aid to foster care, and this is Foster Care Month. May is the month that we acknowledge the 500,000 children in our country that are in the foster care system. If this budget were to go through, that funding would be cut. So they're talking about cutting the money to states, and their rationale is that, well, the states can backfill it. But you know, in California, where we have a multi-billion dollar deficit, it's not a matter of backfilling. It's a matter of cuts that impact the day-to-day lives of people.
Congresswoman, I want to talk to you about another bill. Your colleagues, John Conyers and Zoe Lofgren, wrote a piece about the Republican war on women for Politico. And we've been talking about this bill. They write, the latest battle, ironically, being waged on a dangerous bill introduced by the House Republican leaders to reauthorize the Violence Against Women Act.
Yes.
The House Republican bill, they write, far cry from the Senate bill. It not only fails to include the Senate's improvements like protections for Native American, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender victims, it eliminates longstanding protections from immigrant women, leaving them more vulnerable to abuse. I mean, this isn't just some catchphrase. There really is a war against women. I mean, and the most egregious thing, as they point out, the House bill butchers this protection by violating a sacred component that the wife's petition be kept secret. Rather than preserve confidentiality protections, the bill would have immigration officers contact abusers whose wives are seeking protection, tipping them off to the fact that their wives are taking steps to leave.
Jeez,
I mean, women will die as a result of this if this were to pass.
Oh, well,
right?
You know, there's a number of their policies that would result in death. But I just have to tell you that this is an example of how the Republican caucus has really been hijacked by the Tea Party. Because when you're talking about Violence Against Women Act, when you're talking about transportation, student loans, historically these have been bipartisan issues. They've never been this partisan when it comes to issues like this. And so I actually think, and frankly this is the part that's hopeful, is that they have gone so far to the right that we can really reverse this in November, because we absolutely have to do that. I mean, obviously we want the president to be reelected, but if he still has to contend with House of Representatives that's been taken over by the Tea Party, then the success in his second term is going to be very difficult.
Well, this will shock you, but your colleague Michelle Bachmann said something that was not true this weekend on CBS Face the Nation. She did her best to argue that that Romney will reverse current trends and win women voters in November. She actually said in 2010, she said it was women who overwhelmingly went Republican and threw out a woman speaker, Nancy Pelosi. Well, exit polls, of course, show that we were tied exactly 49%, which is much better than Republicans normally do. But that is not true. She said women went Republican in 2010. The latest poll I've seen shows Obama up 12 points over Mitt Romney among women.
I think you can look at the policies that have been passed repeatedly in the House. I did a presentation last week, and it was almost every single month last year we had to vote against defunding Planned Parenthood, vote against measures that would, and this was an interesting one, it would raise taxes on individuals' health care plans if the health care plans included abortion services.
Yep.
You're talking about egregious legislation that has taken place, and you saw it in the House of Representatives, but you also know that this was across the country. I mean, we're fortunate. We don't have to deal with these issues in the California state legislature. They would never even come up for a vote. But in many of the state legislatures around the country, they were dealing with these crazy pieces of legislation that attacked women's rights.
Jan Brewer just signed one. Sometimes they have help from Republican women that are going to, and again, women will die. Poor women likely will die in Arizona because they have no access to Planned Parenthood, of which, as you know, only 3% of what they do is abortion. There are women that are getting all sorts of life-saving treatment there that they will no longer have access to.
And just think, if Santorum had been the Republican nominee, he said that he thought contraception should be illegal, something that 99% of women in the country utilize at one point in their life.
And so, sometimes men are involved, too, I'm told. Representative Bass, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for checking in with us on this important legislation. We will talk to you again real soon.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, thank you. Representative Karen Bass.
That's right, terrific, here in California.
Thank you.
You're required by law to say that.
We just can't say it enough. Felicia.
And Francisco Franco is still dead. Thank you. Yeah.
Hello?
Felicia in Mississippi. I'm sorry, I was trying to punch the button, but my fingertips were eaten by wolverines.
Hi,
and other
you?
70s SNL references. Hello, Felicia. You're going to talk me down about the polls. Go ahead.
Yeah, calling about Charlie Pierce last hour. He was, saying that he's worried, and I just want to talk you guys down.
Okay.
We kind of knew that the polls, I'm talking like an expert, but I'm not. We kind of knew that the polls would tighten once the Republican primary was over, because,
you know, the people who were holding out for their white knight, and no pun intended, to come in and save the Republican Party didn't arrive. So now they're accepting the fact that they've got Mitt Romney. So the, him, you know, him increasing in the polls is, you know, Republican people coming around to support him. I'm, you know, it's going to be a tight race, but I'm not quite as worried. And I live in Mississippi, but I'm not quite as worried as Charlie was.
Yeah, well, that's his job, is to be a, every party's got its pooper.
Yep, a worrywart.
That's why we invite him. All right. No, I know. I wouldn't get all hysterical at this point. God's sakes.
We also invite him because he's pretty damn funny.
He's funny. And he has a jaunty hat.
Yes, with a green feather.
With a green feather. Okay, Kelly in Ohio, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Cal.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
I have a question about Amendment 1. If it does pass, which I hope that it doesn't, because it will be a travesty, what I wanted to know was, will the Dems still have, should the Democrats still have a convention in North Carolina?
Oh, you know, I've heard some talk about that. I don't know that if it's too late to do
it's
that.
It's too late. Yeah, there are too many logistics in place now to move something at this late date.
Yeah, let's see what John in North Carolina says. Hey, John.
Hey, how are you doing, Steph?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, I want to tell you, I just got done voting on Amendment 8, and I am an African-American.
Amendment 1.
Amendment 1.
Yeah, Prop 8 out here in California. Yeah. But yeah, go
ahead. Basically, everybody's familiar with that. It's against gay marriage here.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I want to say that I'm African American and I voted against it. And I also want to say that, you know, sometimes I think the African American population are falling scapegoat to this, to the Gay and Marriage Act, in which most of the religious people, right, actually are the ones pushing it. So I wanted to make sure that was clear.
It's religious people in general.
Listen, the National Organization of Marriage, that memo came out where they are consciously using this to try to drive a wedge between blacks and gays, obviously for their benefit. You know, that's what they do every time.
Right.
They divide, they fearmonger.
But he makes a good point. It's religious people in general, whether they're black or they're white, that's pushing this thing. I don't think it's necessarily... black thing.
In California, it was Mormons, obviously. Mm-hmm. That's where all that money came from. All right, 46 minutes after the hour, right back with the remaining moments of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, I like it. I like it a lot.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. You saw the Kristen Wiig Tan Mom?
Yes.
SNL thing? I heard it was very funny.
It was very funny.
Guess who liked it? Tan Mom. Tan Mom approves. She says it was well done. Get it? Maybe like almost burned. It was so... I'd miss some of the lines. Kristen Wiig said, I have to look every woman dreams of Wile E. Coyote right after something blows up in his face.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As she said, do I look like a wise cigar store Indian? And then you said that she put a piece of bread between her legs and came out with toast.
Toast.
Toast. Yep. Funny. Can Mom approves. Okay.
Only person she doesn't approve of is Snoopy.
Snoopy. Snooky. She calls her Snoopy.
Yes.
Okay.
Snoopy.
Move over, Scarlett Johansson. Woody Allen has a new buxom young muse in his life, and it's Lindsay Lohan.
What? I adore her well out of proportion.
They were spotted having dinner in New York City at a fancy restaurant.
You know, I'd love you as if you were my own daughter.
Yeah.
Let me rephrase that.
At this point, Lindsay Lohan is younger than Soon-Yi.
Probably.
Yeah.
She's getting up there. Sources close to Lindsay say they've been friends for years, and he's one of her biggest supporters. Just saying. Okay.
How many years? Like going back to Freaky Friday?
Or
an admirer of her then?
Or
guess who else is in Celebrity Stack? Sarah Palin.
Parrot Trap?
Oh, dear. Sarah Palin. You might want to load the liar cannon for John McCain. Sarah Palin's qualifications were the overriding reason John McCain picked her. Right. Uh-huh.
You know how these people lie? Mm. It's born in them. Mm. I mean, what the heck? I don't have to tell you. Mm. They don't know what the truth is.
No. McCain said on ABC's This Week that the primary, absolute, most important aspect is if something happened to him, would that person be well qualified to tell Grampy?
You're a liar.
Grampy.
Liar, liar, pants on fire.
He said, I happen to believe that was the primary factor. Well, you may happen to believe that, but it is, in fact, a la 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 la.
Liar, 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 pants on. Whoa.
He said, I happen to believe that was a primary factor on my decision in 2008. I know it will be Mitts. Having a person Romney knows he could trust is also a critical consideration, McCain said. Romney can't trust anyone because they all hate him. I'm sorry, Mittens. Everyone hates you. Wow, Jennifer Love Hewitt has I've had this nightmare. She has a recurring nightmare that she's having bad dreams about her breast decreasing in size. I had a nightmare the other night that people were trying to deflate my boobs while I was working. They had tubes that I was trying to work with. They were getting smaller.
I don't think that's
what you two bastards have done to me. Look what you've done to me.
Uh-huh.
I don't think she's in any danger of having her.
No. Looks like you strap them down with ace bandages. You wear
a sports bra. It's a sports bra, because I'm on my way to spinning class. All right.
Trying to do the boys don't cry thing, you know, wrapping yourself up.
Strapping in?
Yeah.
All right.
Uh-huh.
Russell Brand, why do I not give this a future, is dating David Hasselhoff's Playboy model ex-girlfriend? According to, this is would-be someone from L.A., she had a pretty serious relationship with the Hoff a couple of years ago. They were together for almost a year, which in L.A. is a big deal. Oh, yeah, that's like a golden anniversary in L.A. Trust me on that.
Have they shared hamburgers on the floor?
Together. It's not love until you shell drunken hamburgers on the floor.
There is that.
All right. Sue in Rockville, Maryland on Mittens. Hi, Sue.
Hey, good morning. I have to just say one thing. Jim, after that comment before, Jim Louise Ward, my God, that Lindsay Lohan. Oh, my goodness. You know, I told Rebecca I was going to say one thing, but I'm going to amend it. I realize the only vice presidential candidate that will go well for Mitt Romney is the SNL John Lovitz character, Tommy Flanagan. Because the pathological liar, and then he can say, yeah, That's the ticket.
I saved the auto industry right after I ordered the raid on Bin Laden. Yeah.
And had a date with Morgan Fairchild.
Hello, I lied. Sure. Whom I've seen naked.
By the way, speaking of SNL, Paula Deen,
celebrity
chef. Whom
I've seen in magic underwear.
Paula Deen is dying to be on Saturday Night Live. She sent them a huge basket of cookies, cupcakes, and pastries. So she's trying to... Kill either them. I'll give you diabetes, too, unless you put me on the show.
I've heard it takes more... for Lauren Michaels to book you.
No?
Just
muffins won't do?
A muffin basket. Mm.
All right. Josh in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hi, Josh.
Hey, how are you today?
Good. Go ahead.
Yeah, I went to go vote this morning at 7:30. By the way, I had to pass the Harris Tater. But
did they give you a flyer?
They didn't give me the flyer, but nonetheless, it was at a North Carolina church, but they were pretty nice people.
Yeah.
Anyway, my partner and I have been together for 19 years, and ironically, last year we had to get a notarized form for domestic partnership so we could continue with having me on his insurance at his work. Yeah. And, of course, that's one of the things that this Amendment 1 will do. It's going to dissolve all domestic partnerships, heterosexual and gay.
I know.
It's going to, they've had a very effective commercial here, which, of course, I know they don't have very much money for it, but for domestic violence against women, that will no longer will be protected.
Yep.
And then on top of that, since I had the domestic partnership notarized, it's going to be null and void. So I'm looking at if I get insurance through Blue Cross Blue Shield, a decent plan, it's going to cost me $6,000 a year.
Yep.
So I'm thinking about putting a huge bumper sticker on the back of my pickup truck. Just saying, thank you. It's going to cost me, you just cost me $6,000 for your fear of God in making gay marriage.
And you might have spent that elsewhere. You might have spent that elsewhere helping the North Carolina economy.
That's right.
Mightn't you?
The thing is that it's redundant for one thing. It's a total smokescreen.
Yeah.
You can get married here before. They're just doing this to pump everything through, and I'm wondering. All these religious idiots sometimes, and the thing is, there's nothing wrong with being religious, but walking through life with blinders on is crazy.
Yep.
And the thing is, the insurance companies I'm going to be laughing all the way to the bank.
Yep, absolutely. By the way, before we go, Jim Ward would like to remind you, if you're in North Carolina, Jim Ward would like to remind you.
Now hear this. Vote against Amendment 1.
Okay.
And furthermore.
Yes.
No, please turn that off.
Yes, it's an emergency. Vote no. Vote against Amendment 1. That's it for us. I'd like to thank Executive Producer, Engineer Boy Toy, Crystal Boy, Voice Deity, Jim Ward, Associate Producer, Rebecca Taylor on phones and drums, and the Courtney and the gang in the current control room. See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.